Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 71 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
Hey, back together again.
Yay.
We will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 5, Honey, and we will also be covering The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 1, Episode 6, Shadow Puppets. In limited capacity, which I think that's kind of changed now. It's like, well, we'll cover it. It's like, it's just, we'll read your feedbacks. And
it's limited in the fact that we don't rate it because we don't want to rate a show because it would get such a low rating that anyway.
Yeah. But we give comments and then we give you guys' comments. So we'll do that much. But again, before we get started, we have additional feedback for Fear of the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 4, The Key. And I kind of want to put the drum roll, please, because Brian has a lot of errata, mainly me.
You did me wrong. Two episodes in a row, my friend. Two episodes in a row. So, a whole bunch of recorded things that I recorded. I recorded a total of 9 segments last week, and only 2 got in the podcast. So, Kyle, you deserve a fail buzzer.
Oh, wrong one. There it is. I could just go down the list of the soundboard and just
yes.
Play them all.
So it's been a week, you know, and my thoughts about, like, basically the only thoughts you got to hear about really were the my thoughts about that piece of crap show that we also have to cover, World Beyond, which to me is reaching even new levels of crap and boredom for me. But I didn't get to talk at all about the episode, and it's not really fresh in my mind anymore. I did really enjoy it, so I'm just gonna let us listen to me.
Yes, and I will play the recordings that I missed, and we can start that now.
I'm going to give Season 6, Episode 4, The Key, 9.2. It should have been called, I Got a Bad Tooth. And, yeah, I mean, I've had issues with my teeth, so I had to have one pulled at one point. And I've got an issue with one of my teeth right now where it cracked. So I can sympathize. Poor John. But anyway, I thought this was a really good episode. I really, really dug this one. I think there were some weak points, but, largely it was, I had to take a little bit off just because it was such a downer, but otherwise really good episode, great acting. And, yeah, I really enjoyed this one. For my awesome sauce, I would have to agree with LT, the fact that John is still a cop. I enjoyed the fact that this was very much a cop story, but also kind of a cop in a corrupt town story. I love how there was some symbolism here with the bad tooth. because literally, you know, it's like things seem good, but in all other aspects, they're bad because, you know, Ginny is like keeping families apart and, you know, sending people away. And of course, the way Janice gets killed. And, you know, who really knows why Cameron was killed? We don't really find that out in this episode. And of course, you know, she keeps John kind of at bay, you know, by placating to him and, you know, giving him, you know, the key. And then, of course, bring June in, you know, so he'll fall in line, I guess. Because, you know, really in the end, he didn't solve a case. There was nothing to solve because it was kind of like swept under the rug. I did like the confrontation between Strand and John, you know, especially those two, you know, had a bit of a history. I remember that episode in season 4 when they're kind of stranded on that like island that, you know, wouldn't normally be an island. You know, so they've had a history together, and I enjoyed, you know, those two kind of pairing up. My other awesome sauce, I guess, would be at the end of the episode, the very end. The I did not see the accident with Morgan coming. I had a feeling something was going to happen, but the accident I didn't see coming. And of course, that fight and how he just completely obliterated those two guys. But at the same time, you know, he doesn't get any kind of answers as to what they're doing, who they work for, or anything like that. So I would have to give another awesome sauce to that. Of course, Glenn has mentioned that, so kudos to her, but I'm just going to second that one. All in all, I think the whole like gun smoke, you know, mystery kind of thing was in there. And I think that was kind of a nice tie in to the old Westerns of old. So anyway, those would be my awesome sauces for this particular episode. My weak sauce, well, this is kind of a goofy one, but the man in the silhouette in the opening credits, it was assumingly John Dory, but John Dory was wearing his usual hat. He was not wearing his Ranger's hat or whatever, his Ginny hat. So, you know, he probably should have been wearing that hat. I don't know, but that was the one thing that I noticed. The other thing I guess I would say was weak was they didn't do a really good explanation, and this is just like within the last couple of episodes of Janice. You had to go watch the previous episodes or you know, look like basically what I did, which was go into the wiki to see who Janice was. And then once I saw who Janice was, it's like, oh yes, Janice, I remember Janice now. But they didn't do a great job to that. The other weak sauce, I guess, would be that we didn't really get the idea of who Ginny was covering up for. It's kind of left like not only unanswered, but undealt with. So I think that would have been nice to deal with. So I guess I'll give a weak sauce to that. My what sauce, and I'm reacting to Glynis's what sauce. So I am very confused by what you've got here. And I even went back and read your response. Kyle, there's some stuff in my final segment that you may have to take out here, but I'll address it here. I'm really confused by what Glynis has said here, because I've heard nothing about there being any Talking Dead until the end of November. So if anybody knows anything about this, I want to know about it. Here's the thing. I get AMC Premiere. I've been getting it for a while, and I would have switched to AMC Plus, but the problem is that I bought a year of AMC Premiere. AMC, and okay, you can add this as part of my what sauce. AMC has not given me a path to upgrade from AMC Premiere to AMC Plus. Like, why can I not do this? Okay. So, like, I'm at the point where I want to, like, you know, call them up and it's like, hey, how can I get AMC Premiere or Plus, I should say? How can I get AMC Plus? I've already paid you guys for Premiere. I want Plus. How can I get upgraded to Plus? So, the other what sauce, I guess I could say, is what is Strand doing? Why is he, what, where's his ultimate, you know, where's he going with this? So my sad sauce is definitely, I hate seeing what happened to John in this episode. I hate him going through what he's gone through, and seeing that is hard. It was kind of sad to see Janice, you know, kind of take the fall there. I think she was kind of, you know, told the story that John was going to, you know, take the fall, or, you know, that she was protecting John, I think. But in the end, I don't think John was really in any danger. So she took the fall to protect John, but she had lost her brother. She had lost this Cameron guy. I think she was in a relationship before that too, if I understood that correctly. But, you know, she had also been on the crosshairs with Ginny before because of the problems with the place that they were in. If you don't recall, Tom had run one of the other settlements within the, you know, Pioneer Network, whatever, and Ginny didn't like what he was doing, so he got booted out, and she tried to kill him, but he didn't get killed, or they didn't get killed, but still. So that was, you know, seeing, I think it was, I guess, also sad, I mentioned John already, but it was kind of sad to see John have his morals, because John is a good guy and a moral guy, and for him to go through that, I think was a tough thing to watch. So, you know, he's definitely one of my favorite characters, and I just hated to see that. And of course, you know, Ginny used June against him, because of course he's going to be happy that June is now here, and she just, you know, manipulated John. And I think in the end, John's going to say, well, this isn't right. And he's going to, you know, retaliate. But, you know, it's sad to see him go through this. I mean, the main point that I would want to say about the episode, just in retrospect, and listeners, we're not actually listening to what I said from last week. is that overall, I really enjoyed the episode a lot. I gave it a 9.2 out of 10. And, I thought a lot like what LT was saying about it being a nice cop show. That's kind of what it was. It was like a cop, you know, a good cop in a corrupt town kind of episode. And I hated seeing John Dory have to go through that. Those were my main points. So there are my final thoughts about last week.
Aaron from the internet says, after Brian said a lot of his feedback was missing, sigh. Kyle shakes head. Well, he's not getting a promotion key this week for sure. Can you revoke keys if somebody already has one? We may need to do that. For the O'Sherry goof alone, we need to send him to the syrup zombie farm for retraining. And she says, "Ha, still love you, Kyle, but I just couldn't resist the tease."
Now I'm going to defend you for a minute, Kyle. So this wasn't exclusively Kyle's fault. I have to take some of the blame for it because the problem was that there wasn't really good, concise, clear communication between Kyle and me. I did tell him that I left all of my feedback at 11:39 a.m. on Friday. That's besides the point. But what I didn't say were how many clips I left. And so Kyle had grabbed them, thinking that he had grabbed them all from the ones that I had uploaded on Thursday night. Well, I had recorded everything Thursday night, but I didn't get to upload them because of some issues at home. So basically, the take home wasn't okay. Kyle, yeah, he goofed up, but I goofed up as well. And for an episode of that nature, I think we have to just communicate better. like it's one of those things where over communicating is probably a good thing, especially when you're doing something you've never done before. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like I was like talking to LT before we all came on, and it was just like this was kind of like the perfect storm. It was like I was so busy at work, and then like you would like LT uploaded his audio, then you were like, "Hey, yeah. Like I'm uploading it." And like when you messaged me, I was in the middle of so much with work and this and that. And yeah. I'd be stressing for the fact that I needed to get the episode out
And I was also stressing because I was dealing with Discovery, and normally, like Ruthie wasn't going to be on again. And, thankfully I had LT, but normally I have someone that helps me collect the feedback, and that person wasn't available at all. So I had to do that, but I also had a bunch of work going on. So it's like, yeah, it was a perfect storm on in both of our situations. So, and I was more focused on that point, trying to get all the Discovery feedback together and trying to figure out, what we would do. So anyway, it happens. We've talked more about it than we probably need to.
I got mine turned in.
Yes, you
yes.
did. Oh,
do you want an apple?
no, thanks.
Actually,
I'm a Windows guy.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean that. I meant besides, it's the teacher that gets the apple, not the student.
Yes, I want my gold star.
Right. You will get it right. When I replay your Sherry version.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have some more feedback from Erin about last week's episode, so I will go through that. And she says, I'm going to do a quick review because I missed feedback this week. Rating 8 on the whole, but I can understand arguments for a bit higher. There were some things I wish that had fleshed out more, and I feel Morgan killing the painters just drags that out, and I'm really for some answers there. But on the whole, this was an 8 quality episode, I feel. Again, I'm loving the cinematography this season. I don't understand why this episode was an extra 15 minutes long. It felt like a standard episode, as no one big died, nor did John turn on the team to be a ranger for Jenny. Was this just to shove in more Morgan time? The dog is cute, but again, I really could have done without his content this episode because it did nothing for the character or season. Was the extra 15 to show Talking Dead? Because why do they do that for this episode when you haven't any of the others? As much as I hate Morgan on the series, if you didn't do Talking Dead for the premiere, why would you air one now? This isn't even the mid-season finale to warrant one. Why was a junkie tooth so important? Good question. This is part of why I marked down the episode. Are we to believe John is going to die later from a cavity because they don't have medicines and hospitals like they used to? I'm sure June could cook up something for him. I get having shifty eyes because he can't look himself in the mirror anymore because he couldn't save Janice, but I don't get the tooth thing. Some blog comments. Morgan is looking for Grace and has Rufus the Bloodhound on his side, but he gets derailed by those two Tagger boys. Rufus was the best part of those all those scenes. Again, I am over the forcing the Morgan content. As Deidre's said last time, Alicia is an original lead. And when is the last time we saw her? The man can't afford to sit out some episodes, especially for his content, does nothing to move the story forward. In fact, this week he's set it back by not even getting the Taggart's name so we could set the plot up more. We're halfway done, people. We could use a name on that group and why they want the key. Onto the podcast, I truly apologize, Brian, for faulting you for Kyle's horrific, arguably unforgivable mistake regarding not playing the Sherry theme song. Do better, Kyle. Angry face, winky face. LT's version is canon now. I don't miss Nick, I'll admit, but yes, I am proud. I am a proud Morgan Joan on field, passionate disliker. Big smiley face. It's kind of hilarious how when you look up info on the series, while in the guide of the TV, it says Alicia first yet again. When is the last time we saw her for more than one episode? Deidre hit the nail on the head in regards to the needing to be addressed, because right now guest characters are getting more to do than a main character, and that's just weird. I could have understood a 9 for this episode, LT, but they ended the episode with more questions than answers for me, and I didn't like that. Why did Janice agree to the deal exactly? Again, why did no one kill Jenny when they were alone with her in the jail room? Who was Jenny covering for, as Janice suggested? What was with the whole tooth thing? And they wasted time with Morgan, so the best I could end up was an 8 for this personally. Walker Talker Ranger, a little good one, Glynis. I see she's on the puns today with the whole, even though the one guy spilled his guts, ha. Huh? The kills this season have been good, Walker or human. It wasn't true Jenny fashion to have to say she hated how the guy in her first town killed someone and then used the exact same method to kill Janice. Jenny is a good bad guy, I feel, but this episode really did make me feel like I was looking behind the curtain, as it were, because she's only still alive for drama. John said he didn't care what happened to him, so why he didn't shoot her the first chance he got makes no sense. Why Strand and John together didn't offer her in the jail made no sense. Why Daniel didn't stab her in the neck during the haircut makes no sense. Yet again, it would cost them their lives and maybe some of their friends in that settlement. But if you look, there's often more people than Rangers, and the Rangers still need time to run to the armory to grab the guns to try and control people if they aren't already armed. So arguably, a town could take them. And how many are really going to stick to Jenny's vision once she's gone? I enjoy her, but again, I feels like she's alive just for drama at this point, because they had at least 2 chances to take her out this episode and didn't. The line you're looking for, Kyle, went something like Jenny's saying it's good for people to feel safe, and John replying, yeah, I agree with that, but actually making them safe well. That's the better thing, don't you think? So it was like her wanting the illusion of safety and him actually wanting safety, because he was buying into the situation pre-Janice dying. The June John reunion was a slap to the face, so more sad than awe. A Jenny backstory episode could be good for a mid-season finale before the group reunited to take her down. I think at this point, doing a backstory episode for her would signal her coming in, so maybe they don't want to do that and tip any hats. She definitely rules through fear and manipulation, because again, otherwise, you'd think someone would have taken her out by now. Yep. As for Dakota, I don't think she's killed Cameron, because why would she, unless he caught her sneaking out? It could be an interesting twist if Dakota was really part of Jenny's test, and she only seems to be helping our people and saying she wanted them to be free of her sister. But we'll see if they go there with the plot, or if they'll keep her an innocent, as it were. I just hope they don't rob John of another main, nor Morgan, of killing her by having Dakota do it, because that would feel a little anticlimactic. Ooh, fitting of Jenny making deals, which usually go bad for people. What if Dakota helps the group trade Jenny over the helicopter group so she's gone and Dakota is involved, but not the sole one responsible? That could tie a lot of plots together and would be worthy of an end for Jenny beyond simply killing her. It could also be what leads the group into the next phase with the helicopter unit world. Wouldn't a nuclear blast just mutate the zombies and make them even more deadly? Potentially, not to mention the fallout cloud. It doesn't seem like a smart weapon to use in a situation unless you're a team with a bunker and a stockpile, which maybe the helicopter crew has, but the Taggers didn't seem like a part of that. So them wanting it doesn't fit. Again, we're like five episodes in. Can we get the name of this group by now? Maybe that's the one in Mask we see next week, because the plot is moving away too slow for me. It was a different podcast episode for sure, but you three made it work. Big smiley face. Thank you. Made some really good points there. We'll definitely have to see how this all plays out, especially after seeing, you know, we're going to discuss what, you know, has happened this episode. And I had one last thing from Renee from Atlanta about this last week's episode. So I'll let LT, you take it away.
Okay. Renee from Atlanta says, I enjoyed this episode more than last week because John Dory really made me mad when he told Jenny about the earring. And Dakota, that little girl has some issues. I don't trust her at all. And also when JD pulled his own tooth without Novocaine, I thought I was going to pass out. Fear the Walking Dead needs to pick up the pace. I did enjoy the Purge people this week. I'm sorry I didn't get to give feedback last week. My beloved auntie passed away and I was in a funk, but I'm back to my normal self because I know she's in a better place and so is the United States. Thanks, Kyle, for the clarification pertaining to me not liking Morgan Jones.
I had to do that for you. So I had no idea that I'd done that. And then to not correct it, it's, you know, I'm like, obviously I had to. So thank you, Renee. All right. Well, let's go into this week's discussion of Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 5, Honey, written by Ashley Cardiff and directed by Michael E. Sastrozemus, which I know I don't say that always perfectly every time. Description is Dwight and Sherry team up with a mysterious faction of people to take down Jenny. When Morgan unexpectedly offers to help, a power struggle ensues. All right, guys, let's go on to our ratings. LT, what do you give this episode?
I'm giving this one an 8 out of 10. You know I don't die, Dwight.
Oh, goodness. I give it an 8, self-righteous, taking a Madison ballpark cue, Morgan's out of 10. And I have to say, I think Aaron is kind of rubbing off on me. Not gonna, I'll just put it out there. Is that for my rating?
I'm gonna give it, I guess, I'll say 8.5 MREP train heist.
You're gonna take one of my awesome sauces.
Well, anyway, because that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a train heist. And, you know, my favorite train heist is the episode of Breaking Bad where they did that that train heist. But this certainly wasn't that.
Well, I know what it reminded me of. And Dwight didn't have the right hat and we didn't have any Nazis.
Ah, yes. Yes. What's that? What's that movie?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely not Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And the MRAP doesn't have a hood ornament, but
no.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it was good. You kind of knew that you can't have more than one happy couple. Mm-hmm. So with John and June being together, you can't keep Sherry and Dwight together. Just not going to happen.
Yeah, so it's never. All right, let's go into our listeners' ratings. LT, you want to take the first one?
I will. Glennis from Toronto says 7.5 out of 10. Tonto and the Lone Ranger.
Renee from Atlanta gives it an 8 out of 10. What we would do for Nookie? Sorry, I meant what would we do for love? And then facepalm emoji.
Fred Durst. The Nookie. Clint from Indianapolis says, I rate this 7.5 horses versus SWAT armored vehicle races out of 10.
Deanna from Detroit gives it, I rate this episode 8 out of 10. Oh, Sherry. Hold on. I have to play that now. Yes. I've been knocked so bad for not playing this, so. Okay.
Okay. Aaron from the internet says, overall, I'd give this week's episode a 7.5 at best.
Yes. And she does have a little bit more to say about her rating, and I pushed it down to the feedbacks, Aaron, yep. So we'll get to that. All right. Well, let's get into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
Glynis from Toronto, she gives her awesome sauce is Sherry, Tonto, and Dwight's Lone Ranger attack on the Stagecoach. I mean, to recover the SWAT truck and Morgan dragging the trussed up Ranger behind him on his horse. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep. Renee from Atlanta says, hell yeah, Morgan, Alan, Dwight. It's about to be on and popping. Two flexing arm emojis.
Aaron from the internet gives it Sherry's questions, Morgan, as it's beyond time someone did that. Honestly, I'm a little surprised they didn't kill her in this episode for that given how they treated him like a golden child, but why it lasted, it was so good to hear.
Okay, and Clint from Indianapolis says, how the masked group is both introduced in the episode and incorporated into the opening credits.
Yeah, I agree. The opening credits I'm definitely enjoying a lot.
Yeah, it's the title cards this season are really rocking it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, well, I only have one. And Al got the SWAT bus back.
Was that it?
That's the only thing I thought was awesome. She got the SWAT bus back.
Yeah, yeah, what comes around, yeah, or what goes around comes around. So
I think all the rest of my sauce is a little lower in the program.
Yeah, I mean, I really actually surprisingly didn't have that much awesome in this episode. I didn't really think that was probably like one of the best episodes, but you know, it was what it was. But I think though, I did like seeing the Walking Dead Negan references, or just like the you know, Morgan talked about it, you know, it's like, or just kind of like the references of the past, you know, it's like, well, you obviously know that Sherry, you know, was like, she came in, she's the second crossover, whatever. We have Dwight, they have their whole, like, you know, like interaction, like the, you know, their whole story together. And now here we actually get to see it come together, and then just all the problems, this and that. But you know, it's like, I don't know. I kind of appreciate that, because it was like, it was just nice to see how, like, at least there's like some continuity within the universe, whether or not it's perfect, this and that, because we don't even know what the time frame is. And obviously, I think it's like, you know, Dwight and Morgan obviously were not there during the big Negan battle, but they left right before it. And so, I don't know. To me, I'm like, that's, if I'm going to give an ops, that's basically it. It was like,
yeah,
it was fun to see the little kind of callback, and, you know,
how the stories are actually dovetailing together a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Ryan, do you have anything?
Well, I guess the one thing I can say is that I kind of saw a little bit of Mike Myers or something in this those crazy face masks they were wearing. You know, so I kept on like getting John Carpenter music in my head at the beginning. I guess it was good to have Sherry and Dwight, you know, predictably or unpredictably, I guess you could either way, like not stay together. I think, I don't know. I in a way, I like that there's some conflict there. Cause it just, otherwise it would have been just too perfect. I like that we're starting to get somewhere as far as getting people to this sanctuary place. I assume that they dropped them off there. Is that your understanding? Like when they all got out of that truck, is that where they ended up?
I that's what I was assuming,
because yeah,
they were kind of like collecting them and say, hey, we're taking you to this new place.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was assuming.
Yeah. So, that's good. And beyond that, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure why they've done this kind of anthology thing. Like, it seems like the only commonality between all of the parts of the anthology is, and I'm sorry, Aaron, Morgan. Because he seems to be the only one that has been in all of the episodes so far. And one thing I heard, and I'm going to try to confirm this before the end of the episode is out. Apparently, we're not getting all 8 episodes of the first, what we usually get in the first half. Apparently, it's going to end at episode 7 because they didn't finish episode 8. So, I'm just going to confirm this.
Yeah, I thought I saw that there was 8.
So yeah, there's only 7 that are going to be out. Like, episode 7 is going to be out on November 22nd, and that's it. Like, there's episode 8, and like 8 through 16 will be out at some other point.
After the break.
Yeah. So it's going to be a 7-9 split, much like my beloved Lions and how their records used to be all the time. and they'd miss the playoffs every year because they'd be 7-9. Anyway, beyond that, though, I can't really think of anything that hasn't been already mentioned by the listeners.
All right, let's go into our listeners' weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, Tieta from Detroit, she says, the whole ride the horses up to the tank truck and watch Dwight jump on it like he's in a Mission Impossible movie. crying face, rolling on the floor. It was so staged and funny. Yes, can't complain about that at all. Aaron from the internet, she says, again, Mary Sue Jones, a.k.a. Morgan. Seriously, this guy just happens to chase down the group on a horse himself, which he got from where exactly? And then even though the driver fell out of the van going a good 30 miles per hour, maybe at least, and there was probably, you know, people behind the van like Al or Sherry. No, it's Morgan who ties the guy up and drags him back. Mary Sue Jones. P.S. Stop with this lame speeches already. How many times are we going to have to hear about how he's been so many different people over this time out here, and he's done bad things and doesn't want that for others. People have to change and not for the better, but now want redemption if they can get it. We know, dude. Get a new line already. Sigh. Oh, yeah. I mean, I put it in my a rating, which was, I kind of am agreeing with you a little bit, Aaron, because it's like, you know, he's kind of taken this little self-righteous kind of angle, and it's kind of after all the stuff that the failures that he's had, and now he's like, oh, like I said, it was like he's kind of taken the Madison ballpark cue.
Yep.
like he's like, I have the perfect place for you. We can grow turnips and no one will be harmed. And
no one will ever know.
And we know how that's going to end.
Maybe.
Well, true.
Just hope it doesn't rain.
Yep. Oh, all right. Let's continue on.
Well, for my weak sauce, we're going to talk about this one a little bit. But I had to add a little editorial content in. Based off the specs that I saw, the average top speed of an MRAP is 68 miles an hour. The average top speed of an average horse is 30 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Be that as it may. I'm going to let Kyle talk about the horse thing. I'm just going to say Dwight needed a fedora. Since that whole sequence was so Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, even down to when he kicked the guy out of the cab, the only thing that Dwight didn't do was slide across the hood, bend the hood ornament, drag himself under the MRAP, and then pop back in the back door.
Yeah.
I'm saying it was shot the same way. It was the same fight. It was the same kick. I'm just like, come on.
Da 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 da. Da. Yeah.
And it's, and yeah, if the guy was trying to get away, it was, it looked like the road was pretty flat and pretty not off-roady. And even if it was off-roady, you know, put your foot to the firewall and run it, unless, you know, Jenny's mechanics are so shoddy that now it'll only do 30.
Or their gas is so crappy.
Well, you know? That's possible, but still.
Yeah, not enough information for that.
Yeah. So when after Dwight got on the side and he's doing the Yakima Canute, and that's my deep cut for the night. He was a famous stuntman in old Hollywood, and he did a lot of the old stagecoach stunts, like going underneath. He was pretty famous as a stuntman. But after Dwight gets in the MRAP, and, you know, they had the scene where the guys are riding down, and he pulls the little door, and the two M249s pop out, and they fire a bunch of rounds, and then they ride closer to the MRAP. So if they're still following them in the MRAP, why didn't they see the guy jump out of the cab?
Yes, I agree.
Why didn't they see the guy run away? He covered a lot of real estate there. And, you know, is he that super ninja that he can come out of the cab of the truck, bounce, roll, run, and get far enough away that Morgan has to lasso him? And about that. And again, being that I have been hospitalized for sliding down the middle of a dirt road at high speed, Morgan dragging him by the feet on his back down the middle of the dirt road, he would have been scant and bloody on the back of his coconut because his head, he was unconscious and it was dragging him. Just kind of saying, I don't think the getting bit by the dog would have been that big of a deal if he'd already drug him a quarter mile down the road. Speaking of dogs, so where's the bloodhound?
Oh yeah. he's sitting at the truck.
The bloodhound's in the pickup. That's all I can think of. He's like, well, if I take the horse, I gotta leave the dog in the truck. And I guess I hope he left him some water and some treats, or he'll come back and the steering wheel will be chewed off. Or some passerby will break the window to let him out because it is Texas. What if it's hot weather? So it just seems like there's the dog was gone.
Yeah.
And my other bit of weakish sauce this time is Morgan, after his big revelation, he's got his axe and his pokey stick thing now, wearing his cowboy hat, looking like a bounty hunter. He almost broke back into good old Morgan speech when he's like, well, I'm different now, but we got to find a place. We'll find a place for us. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was kind of teetering on, you know, like it wasn't just him though. It was like everyone that was in that one scene was kind of, teetering on, you know, gee, I don't know if I should be this person anymore, you know, kind of thing. Or, mm-hmm. or, you know, I was going to be this person, but maybe I shouldn't be, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
There was a lot of soul searching and a lot of, you know, I can be a better man.
Yeah.
Whomever. So, yeah. And like I was saying, MRAP does 68, horse does 30. You do the math. If you want to if you really want to get away, so.
Oh well, yeah. It's like, I mean, I'll get on the MRAP, but I think I have to make a comment about the Morgan thing, because it was like he's doing this whole like, oh no, like we need to go find this like, oh, I have a place that will keep us safe, but we can't attack Jenny unless, like, you know, like until the right time. But then in a few scenes later, he's talking to Al and like Dwight, just like, oh, it's just like, well, from the last time I screwed everything up, that it was like, oh, I just like, I was trying too hard, or like, I was trying to like, you know, I wasn't like letting myself just like change. But then he like turns right around and say, no, but you have to do it my way or this is not going to work. And it's like, wait, what? You're saying that the last time you screwed up and like it was because you weren't allowing yourself to change and listen to other people, to being like, you're still telling everybody you do it this way or it's like not going to work?
Yeah, some character whiplash there.
Yeah, so I can't disagree with that at all. Now on the in wrap, I mean, the whole horseback train attack is what I called it. I mean, it was very Wells Fargo horse carriage western, and I love that part. It was just okay. This whole season is very western themed, western, like how they're shooting it, how it feels, and all this stuff. So I mean, I enjoyed that, but it was like this guy who apparently has been driving this MRAP who knows how long. Like, you would think that they would put someone that knows how to, like, or at least has some experience. But he, like, literally seemed like he was driving in a straight line the whole entire time. And so it's like, there are, like, he sees people on these, like, rearview mirror and this and that. And he's like, oh, I'm still following the road. Like, not swerving, not doing anything crazy. He's just, like, doing, like, straight, driving a straight line. And then, like, you know, they, like, knock off the antenna so he can't call back. But then it's like, oh, I'm going to use my, like, you know, like, the machine guns. And I get it that, like, it's kind of like a high, you know, arc. So it's like it's not shooting straight down. And Al was even saying, no, it's got a high aim or, like, whatever. But you think that, like, they would not know that they've even using this, like, they've had this MRAP for so long at this point, that he would at least like swerve to go draw some distance to then like pull it off. But he just like unloaded all of his ammo. Like that was just going to do something. And then they all just like come up close. I don't know. I just, the whole scene was so weak, you know, it was like, it was just there just to be like, hey, here's the fun little, like, hey, look, we're on horseback in our little mask and we're going to take over the MRAP. And this guy literally cannot, he swerved a couple times, but like, if I was driving that, I would have been like running over those horses. I would have been like swerving right into them. I would have been like doing everything just to like, I'm going to shake you off. It's an off-road vehicle, basically. This thing can like go over any terrain.
Yeah, the only thing is, though, it does have high center of gravity.
Well, but if you're gonna like going up a hill or like a like doing like major off-roading, if you're basically on like a flat plane, you could pretty much drive and maneuver any as long as you're not doing too crazy of turns. Yes, you could probably flip over.
Well, your horse complaint's the same complaint I have about people getting chased by motorcycles. You know, somebody's chasing you on a bike, bump them.
Or, yeah, like, yeah, it's like you could easily, like, cause the, it's like almost like literally like geometry. It's like they're like, they have like a certain angle they can maneuver. You have a certain angle. It's like you could literally like turn into them really hard and they're all their horses would just ram into you and then you would run over them.
Or the, like, or the horse would try to stop.
Or throw you off or like whatever. But it's just like this dude just like, I can only drive in a straight line. Oh, I see people like all the next. I'll just, it was for what it was. So I'm just giving it weak because it was just for the fun part. Yay. They're going to take it back. But it was just, it's Indiana Jones.
it's a lot of fun until you start going, wait a minute.
Yeah, so I have more about the gas, so I'll...
Oh, and so do I.
And because I only got to see this one once, I didn't think too much about the ramifications of that whole thing. I just enjoyed it for what it was. So I get what you're saying, but since I only got to see it once on a phone... Actually, no, it wasn't on the phone. It was on my iPad. So at least it was a little bit bigger. Yeah, I didn't super analyze it. But like I said, I plan to do all these. I plan to watch both shows for a second time today, and my plans got completely shot out the window. My big, as I like to do, sometimes I like to have a weak sauce that has nothing to do with the shows themselves. My weak sauce has to do with the AMC app, something I've had many weak sauces about, many different flavors and nuances over the years. This one is a particularly stupid weak sauce because the AMC app would not let me watch anything on it. I had to go watch. Actually, I was finally able to get Fear working on it, but I could never get World Beyond working on it. In fact, in order to watch it, I had to watch it on Sling. So I couldn't even watch it on, because I have Sling. I couldn't watch it on the AMC app. I had to watch it on Sling. It kept, every time I would try, it would give me an error. I would download it, it would give me an error. I would delete the file and try to watch it streaming, it would give me an error. It didn't matter if I was at home or away. Either way, it failed. And I say, boo, AMC. You're trying to get out there this AMC Plus, which I think works the same way as AMC Premiere. Which, by the way, one thing, Glennis, I did find out since last week that those episodes of Talking Dead are available to me as an AMC Premiere subscriber. And that was something I didn't realize until I actually found it on the app. But on Sunday night, I found that the episode was available to me after it aired on regular TV. So that's it for my weak sauce. Has nothing to do with the show.
Well, I mean, hey, it's a weak sauce. It's their app, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a valid weak sauce because yeah, here they are trying to make me watch their shows and their stupid app won't work. And I also tweeted them to say, hey, I am a Premiere subscriber. How do I get converted to AMC Plus? You jerks made me, you know, offered this ability to, you know, buy it for a year. So dumbass that I am, I did buy it for a year and now I regret it because I can't get out of it.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like the app should be working. It should not be like,
yeah,
like you pay for it, it should work.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Especially World Beyond. They should be giving people every opportunity to watch that show.
Yeah.
By the way, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. Oh, goodness. Well, I haven't watched it yet, so. All right, let's go into our what sauce.
What?
Go for it, LT.
All right. Aaron from the internet says, I'm sorry, but there's no way Al doesn't drive the SWAT van back to the base after months of being apart, if not longer. She loves that thing.
Yep.
Yes, she does. Also, are we expected to believe seriously that the office people in the moving truck were just all fine and dandy after 3 days of being in there? I call bull on that. Sure, they might be technically still alive, but happy when that door swings open and not drenched in sweat? No. Al and Dwight left them for days in that closed box, so the fact everyone just came out like nothing happened is definitely a goof, I feel. And also probably part of why I rated this episode low. Things happened in it, such as Horse beating the SWAT van, that it just felt like drama and action for the sake of it and not really something possible like they tried to showcase.
The only thing that I could think, like, okay, yes, you make a good point because it's like, yeah, were they just waiting inside of this, like, van or truck, you know, like, for how long and like whatever. I would assume that obviously it's like they were able to walk out and like, you know, stretch and like, they're not just locked in this truck, you know, the whole entire time. But my question though, at the end, we see Dwight making his, you know, Sherry symbol, which is like, I guess is like, you know, he's leaving clues for her, but then it's a huge big arrow pointing basically where they're headed. So I'm like, why? Like, I don't understand that. It's like, you're trying to leave like little notes for Sherry to find you, but yet you put a big arrow and you leave a big truck there. That wouldn't Jenny or anybody else find that and be like, oh, where did these people? Why is this here? Oh, where did they go? Oh, there's an arrow. Let's go that direction.
I think the assumption is that nobody would be smart enough to understand that follow the big arrow for the infinity sign.
It was pretty blatant that it was like,
yeah, it is.
An arrow designates like a direction. So like, I don't know. I would think that I'm like, I see an arrow. I'm like, I'm going to follow that to see wherever it goes to,
The curiosity of, I wonder what they're pointing towards.
Right. And if you're Jenny and her band of outfits seeing like, we're trying to hunt down these people that totally like left us, to being like, hey, there's an arrow. Let's go check that out. Like, you're pointing to the wrong, like you're giving too many hints. So I don't know. I'll just put it there.
Or hopefully the truck won't move. So then the arrow will be pointed somewhere else.
Oh, there could be a hurricane, like, what, last season? Beginning? Yep. They might turn it around, and now it's pointing the other direction. Oh, all right. Well, let's continue on. Renee from Atlanta says, oh, Sherry is with the Purge people now. I guess this is just basically a meh emoji, like, you know, shoulder shrugs.
Yep.
Lots of them. All right, well, let's go into our what sauce.
So, back talking about our pal, the MRAP. Just for editorial content again, an MRAP gets about 8 miles per gallon, and it comes standard with an 80-gallon fuel tank. Because the question was, how far can they go? How far can they go on a fill-up? How much gas does it actually hold? Well, there you go. My other what sauce that I have is, okay, so the guys with the masks ask Dwight, so do you know where Jenny is? Dwight says, I don't know. And they say, well, okay. So then they grab Ranger Bob out of the MRAP there, and they go, hey, do you know where Jenny is? And he goes, I don't know. And so what do they say? You know, bullshit. So they tie him to a chair, they throw guts on him, and they sick a dog on him. And I'm going, how come is Dwight just that much more believable? You know, did Sherry vouching for him, you know, give him that extra bit of credibility? I just was going, I don't quite get it.
No, that's a good point, because it's just like every ranger that they capture is not like one of Jenny's like top lieutenants. You know, they're just people that just work in the bottom rungs of everything. So it's not like they know her whole schedule, or they're like talking to her. So it's kind of like, well, I wouldn't be expecting them to know exactly where she is. Now, just be like, last I heard, oh, she was at home.
And my problem is that all those ranger guys, except for John, are all tending to kind of mush together. Now the guy that Strand threw poop on his shoes, he got eaten, right? Maybe.
From last season?
No, from like 2 weeks ago.
Strand threw the poop on. No. He's still alive.
Okay, so the guy that got eaten was another guy. I'm just saying, all those Rangers are looking the same to me.
No, that's kind of true.
They're all short, and they all have beards, and they're all kind of scrubby looking. So I was going, well, if he's just the MRAP patrol guy, or
right, like he's
or he's the gas getter.
Yeah, the guy that Strand threw the poop on, his name was Marcus. And then the one that's like, I think who they're talking to, which is Jenny's kind of like, I guess, right hand man at this moment, is Hill. And that's who they were talking to. Hill's the one that's like making Dwight and
Althea.
Like, where are you going? Like, check in, blah, blah, blah. But Marcus, and this guy was not Marcus as far as I know.
Right. So, like I said, it's just
Strand threw poop. I don't even remember that.
The very beginning of the episode when it was at the start of the episode when they're burning the outhouse buckets.
Okay.
And the guy was talking sassy to Strand, and he gets out of the the reason I said he gets out of the MRAP, and Strand threw a bucket of poop at him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was episode 2 when it was Strand and Alicia's episode. Yep.
I don't even remember that.
Oh. All right. Well, I guess I'll go into my what sauce. And I kind of brought this up in the last podcast, minus all the problems. Mm-hmm. Again, loud music. It's like they were playing it whenever they capture the driver of the MRAP. But they're playing all this loud music. And I was like, does anybody care about drawing walkers anymore? It was just like, it seems like that's not a thing anymore. And so I know that like Dwight mentioned when he called in saying, oh, no, we came across a herd. Oh, it took us some time to clear it out. I'm like, okay, is that a thing that they're doing so that they're like knocking down the number of walkers that are out there, so it's not like that big of a deal? But it's just like, again, we hear it's like everybody can just play loud music and do everything, and it's not, that doesn't seem to be a very threatening thing or like a bad thing to do,
unless you're Janice.
Well, right. And then at the same time though, it's like at the end of the episode that, you know, we have Dwight basically pulling his whole like, I'm going to find walkers to disguise us so that that Jenny thinks we're dead. Oh, they can always find a walker whenever they need one. And it's just like this whole weird disconnect that I'm like, what, really? Like you guys, like we've known that like noise is not a good thing, and that's where herds come through. And then like all of a sudden that swarms and makes a bad thing. And now it's just like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just like, hey, just blah.
Done. Yeah. So they had the loud music playing, and you're going, oh, well, the loud music doesn't matter. Well, they also threw the bucket of guts on him.
Yeah.
So does that matter now that you've got fresh blood in the air too?
Well, no, right. And so but even then it's like, okay, well, like you would think that all that noise that they were using basically because he was captured and they were like, what, not wanting him to hear anything like the interrogation or whatever.
Well, it's not just that. It's part of how you, I don't want to naturally use the term soften up, but that's part of that psychological thing, like Daryl in the closet with that Easy Street song.
Yeah.
You know, you put them in a space and you blast loud music at them and it gets them where they can't sleep and it makes them discombobulated.
Right. Which is fine if you're in a, like a container that's within a building that doesn't have like this out. They were like in like a open air like thing.
It was it was either a pool or a skate park. I never quite figured out.
But again,
in the open.
Right. I'm just bringing it up, the fact that it's like loud noises don't seem to matter at all and right now. So, and then I move on. It's like, yes, like you kind of already like brought this up and like actually kind of answered my question, because I was like, so like the MRAP, the guy said, he's like, oh, like we just filled up. So they're close to Tank Town, but he said he was 8 hours away from Lawton. And then you're saying it's like 8 miles per gallon, 80 gallon fuel tank. I don't know where the 8 hours counts in, because it's like, okay, so you're going to drive all the way to Lawton to basically, the guy says, like, oh yeah, and then we'll just leave from here to go wherever. And it's like, okay, well, are you just basically using your tank to get there, and then you have all the reserves, and then you're going to like basically refill up? I don't know. I didn't crunch the math. So I thought it was just weird that it was like, he said he was 8 hours away, and I'm like, 8 hours on a really heavy duty vehicle is a very long distance.
Yeah, but remember, as slow as he's driving, so the horses can catch him, then
right.
It may be taking 8 hours.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how much gas that takes, but it just didn't seem very like believable. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yep, I'll agree with you.
All right, Brian, do you have anything?
No.
All right, let's go into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww.
All right, first comes from Erin from the internet. She said, I love the use of the zombie decoys like Dwight was planning earlier, but does this mean we won't see he and Al for a while now? Because that would be sad to me. Surely they can shove in a shot or two of them every other episode, at least given how much Morgan content they've shoved into every episode so far, even though he's realistically shouldn't have been there. Seriously, this is a whole area of like 5 miles wide. First, Al and Dwight were in a clear city, and the next minute they're in a skate park in the middle of a field. It looks like but it's still close enough that they can be radio from Lawton or wherever they are. Lawton is only like 30 minutes from the gas field, it seems, given the driver said he was fueled up and headed back. Well, actually, he said 8 hours away, so that's a good question. Mm-hmm. And again, Morgan can either ride a horse or walk anywhere, it seems, and find whoever he wants. So yeah, this has to be the smallest area they've been to yet. But oddly, Ginny has room to separate them all and can't find Mary Sue. I know it's because he's Mary Sue. That should be my actual sad sauce, it seems. The return of seemingly illogical situations to make the story happen. Well, you make a good point, though, about the... I don't know if I remember hearing anything about 30 minutes away. Maybe that's another episode, or I don't know. Like, the fact that he said he was eight hours away, and he was getting fuel, so we know that... the, you know, tank town he must have obviously come from, that distance and like wherever, like, yeah, that there's a very, very,
there's a lot of distance impairment going on,
right? Totally agreed. It's just, it's, I would have to go back and see where, like, others, you know, like if there's any kind of like totally like disconnect, but it just, 8 hours away, that's lot, yeah, that's a very long way, and we just talked about, you know, it's like gas mileage and all this other stuff. So yeah, I'm like, it's just convenient that they're just like, hey, they'll just like throw something there. It's like they could just always have gas and just drive around and walkie talkies that have endless batteries
and range.
Yes, yeah, but 8 hours away from somewhere, what range is that?
Well, that's like. 8 hours is like from here to Orlando or from here to like Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's like about from...
You're not going to get a walkie to there.
To there, right. So, well...
All right. Clint from Indianapolis says, how all that potential of a mysterious group was lost when Sherry is shown to be a part of the group, and we see how not mysterious they will be.
And Renee from Atlanta says, oh, Sherry and Dwight didn't last long at all, and I'm glad because Dwight was thinking with the wrong head. If it's okay for me to say that.
Well, you said it, but we were all probably thinking it.
Yep. All right. Well, that was done for our listeners. What do you have, LT, for your sad aw sauce?
I only had one, guys, is that after all that, Sherry and Dwight are apart again.
Oh, Sherry.
Hold on. Yes, I finally have it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that our love holds on. Because once again.
Yeah, I'm just going to step ahead and just say that was my sad sauce too. Like, I kind of like it from a story perspective, but I don't like it from every other perspective. I want to see those two have, you know, a happily ever after kind of story. And it seems like right now they don't have it, but that doesn't mean they won't get it by the end of the year. I mean, we had kind of a similar thing with John Dory in June too, you know, where things were keeping them apart and then they finally got together again.
Made up or like made the connection.
Well, but yeah. And if you remember in season four, you know, John thought that she was dead. And, well, actually, yeah, he thought she was dead, but he, you know, spent like a good half season trying to look, you know, trying to find her. And then, anyway, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. But I'm just saying, sentimentally, as much as I love John and June, I mean, come on, you know, Dwight took a griddle for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I say I want to see those two together.
Yeah, and as much as I didn't like him there for a while when he was a savior, you know, his redemption arc and then seeing him in Fear, I kind of like old Dwighty boy.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And, you know, I guess you could, say, my awe would be that he kept all those letters, you know, that was showing that, you know, he's a softy and sentimental and, you know.
Yeah. It was fun to like she was like reading them in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool to like, oh, it's like, and she was even saying, it's like, oh, like I forgot where I was when I wrote this. And the fact that he kept them all, and she was kind of like reminiscing, like we have no idea. Like, that's another thing. It's like, we have no idea, like, what struggles and everything she went through to get from Alexandria to where she is now after all these years. So, I mean, it's like, it's, yeah, I'm sure that was like lots of suffering, a lot of scariness and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's a story that we haven't heard yet, but
yeah, no,
we may, you know,
yeah, at some point,
and it'll be cool if we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know if I have, other than the fact that Sherry Dwight, I don't like, I know online that I was seeing, it's just like, oh yeah, she's like gone. Like there were no, that's how it's going to end, this and that. I don't believe that. I think if there is not another Sherry appearance, that she's just never going to show up again.
She's a part of the main cast. So,
but you know, she has to be the rest of the episode. She could be like Grace.
That's true.
She could be like Grace and just like, we'll never see her.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are, and right now there are a bunch of characters that are in the main cast that we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Danae Garcia. We haven't seen Mo Collins. We haven't seen, Karen David. And I'm not sure who else, but those three we haven't seen. We've barely seen Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we will, you know, but it's also worth saying that, we have seen quite a bit of Colby Minifee. Oh, that's who it is. Colby Holman. We haven't seen any of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But Colby Minifee, we have seen, and she is not in the main cast, which makes me still think she's going to die. Mm-hmm. So, and probably in the episode 8 that we don't get to see yet. So,
which would have been perfect if they could, if they finished it, because World Beyond would have already ended, and then, or at least the, you know, episode 8 or whatever, and then we could have like an extended long, but
yeah, you realize we're going to have a couple of episodes where we're covering nothing but World Beyond, right?
Yes. Well, no, but as long as I have time to watch them, then well,
the,
fine.
We'll see, the end before the mid-season break is Dakota's going to go all Che Guevara and kill Jenny and take over and become a tiny, the tiny female dictator.
Mini Jenny.
Mini Jenny.
Yes. with her mini iron fist.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, Deanna from Detroit says, okay, did anybody get Friday the 13th Jason vibes when Sherry disappeared? I was like, okay, are we doing horror movies now? Dwight is left sitting in the room, hears a noise, and calls out to Sherry, but no answer. So now he has to investigate. He grabs his gun, which is smart, because in horror movies, they never grab a gun. It's always a lame weapon. He calls her name again as he walks towards the banging door window. He snatches it open. Nothing turns around. Screams. Well, I screamed and jumped. It's masked people everywhere, and they got him surrounded. Come to find out it was Sherry's group. They got him and Al that she didn't check in for them, but Sherry knew this already. Okay. Morgan comes to the rescue and catches the runaway Virginia guy. But I have a question. How fast was he running? Dwight had just kicked him out of the truck. He couldn't have gotten too far on foot. They would have caught up with him easily on the horses. And how did Morgan know the guy was running from them? Sherry has PTSD from Negan and wants to take it out on Virginia, which is well deserved. Morgan has changed for the better. Morgan 2.0 tells everybody he was wrong about life is precious. He now realizes it's a dog-eat apocalypse world and you need to kill to survive. Overall, decent episode. Loved how happy they were. Just so happy to have a trailer truck full of people to go to Morgan's new community. Also loved Al and Dwight faking their deaths after missing check-in and going rogue.
Yep. I like, yeah, totally like great observations. And he didn't have a gun. He had an axe. I remember like Sherry disappeared. He heard the noises, but he did like he reached across the bed and it was an axe that he had, not a gun. I think later though, whenever he was fighting with the MRAP guy, whatever,
he had a revolver.
Yeah, and then it fell, and then like there was, I don't know if it popped open and there was just bullets everywhere, like it, whatever. It's like,
yeah, but he was packing the same hatchet he's been packing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like the gun that in this whole entire episode was that one scene there. So, yeah, beginning he had a big hatchet, and then Sherry disappeared, and then he got attacked by the dollhouse faced people, which was really creepy. I have to agree. It was very, very like creepy scene. All right, well, let's go into the next listener feedback, and that comes from Glennis from Toronto, and she says, so it looks as if it wasn't Sherry who saved Morgan from those walkers after Virginia shot him and left him for dead, since there was nothing said on that subject by Sherry. Ha, Morgan back on the horse after his truck was total plot and budget probably couldn't have those two guys crash into the horse in last week's episode. So the Western theme is fully back again. Agreed, totally. Dwight revisiting his musical torture tactics on that ranger, just like he did with Daryl when he played that Easy Street tune back in the Sanctuary. Very good observation. We just had the same thing. Was that wolf-like dog Dwight let go actually dog who made the journey to eventually meet up with Daryl in The Walking Dead? Good question. No, actually, dog was very kind of like a what do you call it? Like brindle?
Yeah.
Like brownish, whatever. This dog was pretty much all black hair. Yeah. So yeah, not the same. But Sherry wanting to make amends for doing nothing at the sanctuary and Negan situation, she's actually acting exactly like Negan or worse as she was prepared to kill all those rangers. Negan only killed when one of his rules was broken or to make an example to keep the various groups in check. The wearing of the mask by Sherry's group was creepy, especially Sherry, since she really looked scary and evil. Is this a splinter group of the Whisperers? As that indefinitely sign or infinity sign that Dwight and Sherry use as their secret communication sign has always struck me as weird that Alpha's belt buckle was an infinity symbol too. It was sad that Sherry decided to continue with the group on her vendetta to kill Virginia. Morgan, Dwight, and Sherry pass will cross again, then, since they both want to put down Virginia. Dwight is still holding out hope that Sherry will have a change of heart since he left that infinity sign and arrow in the truck. Agreed, that arrow. Morgan and company need to siphon some gas from those oil fields of Virginia's after it's refined, of course. Luciana can help with that, as using horses and walking to where they want to go isn't going to cut it with the Rangers in vehicles. It does, however, provide filler for the episode with all the walkers going on, or the walking going on.
Well, and as I've always said, it is the Walking Dead.
Yes. And they don't do a whole lot of walking now that they have horses and cars.
Yeah, but if it was the main show, they would have already broken the cars or flattened the tires or run out of gas.
Or left them whenever there's like just a twig in front of them on the road. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Glennis. All right. Next is Aaron from the internet. And this is actually in regards to her rating that she gave. And so I kind of split it up because there was a lot there. So I wanted to kind of like spread it out. So this is in regards to her rating, which was a 7 or 7.5 at the best. Maybe it's the fact that this felt more like a generic episode of the week again, but after all the good character-driven episode we've had recently, it just didn't hold up to the same level of interest to me, or maybe it's because there's a lot of the Walking Dead history they relayed on between Sherry, Dwight, and Morgan, and as Fear Watcher, only that meant nothing to me, so the emotional moments others had just felt like a random dialogue to me. But I didn't enjoy this week as much as I have in the last three episodes. I, of course, know who Negan is in the grand scheme of things because of promotion material, but the fine details of what he did to make Sherry feel she needs to take her fate from him out of Jenny's again, I don't know. So while Fear and Title could arguably have said this week was an extra Walking Dead episode, especially as no original Fear character were in this week, it could also be because, again, this week featured a lot of action moments versus the character exploration stuff we've gotten in the last three episodes. But yeah, I would rate this just above the premiere episode for me on least liked so far this season. I just have to say, it's like, yeah, I think if you were only a Fear watcher, I could totally get that. Like, you would never even like understood any of that stuff about Negan, about Morgan even saying like, oh, I fought a war, you know, people died back in the day, blah, blah, blah. Like, I could see how all that would have gotten lost. And, you know, it's like, that's where we're at, you know, like where we're at. It's like, this is a spinoff from the main show. So if you don't know the main show, well then, yeah, they're going to throw little tidbits in there because, you know, there's the main show. So I just, you know, hopefully they can kind of like maybe do a better job of like trying to, like, you know, I'm like, again, like, what would you think? It's like, should they have shown any kind of a flashback? Even if it was just brief, just showing like Sherry dealing with Negan, just so we would have known like, oh yeah, she's has these issues.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think they're assuming that most people that are watching the show have watched the other shows, so they've already made that connection.
Right, and I think Aaron is saying it's like, well, I've only really watched Fear, and I'm not in that, so it's like that it doesn't really lay on the same impact. And again, it's like you could have done a really quick little flashback, not even having to explain anything, just like even showing like Jeffrey Dean Morgan's face, just to be like, oh, that's a man that she's scared of. And that might have been enough just to really, oh, yeah, she has something in her past, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's an interesting comment, and I have to like put it out there because I'm like, Aaron, that's a very good point. All right. Well, Aaron continues on. Maybe next week will be better as we'll get a Luciana first story of the season, it seems, and some June content. So maybe it will go back to character focus again next week. And I agree. I think the next week's little sneak peek, or, you know, at the end of the episode, there's a lot of shit going down at Tank Town. So
that's right.
Yeah. She says, still nice cinematography, but not a great episode for this season so far. Thank you, Aaron. We always love your feedback. So thank you. All right, next comes from Clint from Indianapolis, and he says, first time this season that I felt the episode was lesser than the previous episode. Disappointed that it seems Morgan has flipped again and is back to his recently old ways. Yep, I can't agree. Like, I always felt that it's like Morgan, like, served a purpose. And so it's like, you know, he's there to kind of like have the back end of like the whole entire storyline. But this whole way that like he's like, oh, no. I'm like, I'm trying to build something and I want you all to come with it. And then even like Dwight called him out on it. It's like, wait, we did that once and look where we were at. So I don't know. I just, you know, it's a little difficult to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, Morgan knows the right thing. It's like, no, yeah. Like, you kind of already failed in that. And also, it's like, you're kind of a bit being a little, like, as my rating says, like, kind of a little self-righteous little bee, because it's like, you just assume that everybody's going to follow you. And everybody else is like, no, we're not doing that. And, you know, he's making good points that it's like, don't do anything stupid because everybody in the group that Ginny is controlling, you know, could suffer for this. That's a good point. But you're not really giving a very compelling argument to say that your way is the only way. When you tried this and then you almost died and then you're telling them all to live and now all of a sudden you're just going to show back on horseback and be like, hey, look me, I can totally take care of this now and just follow me again. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Yep. All right. Into our feedback. I guess I don't have anything. I think it's because most everybody's feedback was pretty much.
Yep. The only other thing I was going to throw out is what I had heard was that the last episode before the break is going to be, they're going to do a doubleheader at some point.
Or, well, yeah.
That one Sunday they're going to have two episodes.
Oh, yeah, to like make up for missed time or whatever.
Yeah.
I could see that for sure.
Two World Beyonds, you mean?
No, maybe Fear. Maybe
no, I don't know. Two Fears.
Oh, when it comes back. Yeah, maybe. They could do that. And that'd be okay. And we've had that before, like season 3, they kept doubling them up. And they did that at the end of season 2 as well. They did the last two episodes together. Yeah.
They're like two episodes and then like then the episode and finale all the same. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go into The World Beyond, season 1, episode 6, called Shadow Puppets, written by Maya Goldsmith and directed by Michael Cudlitz.
And Michael Cudlitz, I'm sorry.
Oh, Michael.
Your episodes have been good that you've done, but, you know, it's you can't polish the, you know, you can't polish a turd. Oh, as they say.
I guess I give them.
Well, you can if you dip it in shellac, but
yeah.
Well, he give him points for trying.
You can't even comment, Kyle. You haven't seen it.
No, I know. So now I'm kind of like, okay, I will probably see it in a few days. All right. Well, the description is, when an unexpected newcomer reveals information that could help them reach their destination, the group cuts a deal. While some are intrigued by the new arrival, others are suspicious. Oh, I don't have a sound effect for this. Oh, wait.
Da, da, da.
Shock horror.
This is good enough. Oh. All right. Well, since you guys have... I don't know. Go ahead, LT.
Okay. LT's got the feedback. I'll just kind of riff on what he says.
So while they're sitting around the campfire, a new stranger shows up. While he's pointing a pointed stick at everyone, Felix puts the big sneak on him. We find out his name's Percy. Percy talks too much. He talks a lot. Percy calls Walker's has-beens.
Has-beens, yeah.
He talks about seeing bison in, I think, Wyoming or Colorado. And then he talks about pelicans in Florida.
Yeah.
And Hope puts two and two together and figures out he's got a vehicle.
Yeah.
So then after they find out he had wheels, he says, well, I got hijacked. And oddly enough, Felix and Silas are the two that suspect Percy being up to something. Felix, I would see. Silas, I had my doubts. So Iris gives him the big puppy dog eyes and begs for help.
I have that was because he's kind of got a thing for Iris, and as Iris is paying more attention to Percy right now, so you know his antenna are up.
Oh, it's the dude
thing. You stealing my girl.
You said that with too much emotion. It would be, you're stealing my girl.
That's true. It is, after all, Silas who, yes. You know, I don't know. Silas has a bit of a serial killer vibe to me.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So Iris gives him the big puppy dog eyes and begs for help. Iris, of course, tells Percy way too much. Overshare. Yep. You know, when you're trying to sneak somewhere and you meet somebody in the woods, you don't suddenly tell them your life story. But then again,
unless you're on World Beyond.
Yes, I'm not a protagonist in a young adult TV show, so she begs him for help, and Percy says, well, you can help me get my truck back. So they sneak into town and they find the truck. Now, Gearhead editorial comment, that is a Unimog 404, which was manufactured by Mercedes-Benz, used by the German military, but it's not common in the United States.
Hmm. Interesting.
That was something that sort of perked me up, being the way that I am, to think, okay, if this is a CRM truck, where'd they get it? Because this is a Euro truck. I think they might have had them in Canada. I know that different European military trucks have been imported to the U.S. for collectors. But this isn't like Abraham's 5-ton. It's not a common U.S. military vehicle. So, down off the soapbox. So when they sneak up on the truck, they find a, air quotes, dead guy in the cab. So they just unload him and throw him in a heap out on the side beside the truck. Even though he had what appeared to be a head wound, what I want to know is, if you pick somebody up and you drag him out of the cab, I think Felix did it, would you not notice that he's still warm? Would you not notice that maybe his heart's still beating and he's still breathing? And what's the one thing that on the main show they were awfully good to do if they found somebody who was freshly dead? You shank him in the coconut.
Yep.
But of course, they didn't do that. So they just throw the guy off to the side. And Percy's like, well, I think the guys are in this building, so they're going to go search the building. Felix sort of has a good plan. He says, well, I'm going to go inside, ostensibly to keep his eye on Percy. And so he leaves Silas and Hope on security with their gear. This is a problem. This will come up in a few minutes. So they sneak off into the building, and Felix is off sneaking by himself. And so Iris ends up finding Percy when she sneaks into the building. So they find, air quote, the keys, and Iris thinks Percy's been ambushed and shot, but of course she's curious and she comes back and figures out that, wait a minute, he was not telling me the truth. This is not his stuff that he said was his stuff. It's empty bags. So while all this is going on, and there was a gunshot, of course, the perimeter security all bunches up on the front door. So while everybody's not paying attention, the dead guy, who's not the dead guy, grabs all of their backpacks, throws them into the back of the truck, and drives away.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all standing there going, hey, he's got our stuff.
Come back.
So Percy jumps out of a window. Iris follows him, and Iris falls into a dumpster.
That she can't get out of.
Right, because it's one of those big trailer dumpsters.
Yeah.
So, of course, while she's in the dumpster, of course, there are walkers in the dumpster. And so it was like, I think somebody, I heard on another podcast, somebody said it was like a trash ball pit.
Yeah.
So she's flailing around screaming because she can't get out of the dumpster.
Which Fear did better, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get the dumpster open. And of course, the truck comes back. Because, of course, while Iris is screaming, a small cluster of walkers appeared to add urgency to the scene of getting the door open. So, of course, then everybody jumps in the truck and drives away. Well, it turns out that the, air quotes, dead guy is Percy's uncle. And, of course, as he begins to give his expositional speech after they've gotten out of harm's way, it turns out that he used to be a Vegas magician before the ZA happened. And he's talking about Percy, and he's going, oh yeah, this kid was a grifter from the day he was born. And I'm going, oh, that's really nice. So the people you've just tried to steal from now know that you're a thief, if they didn't already know. So Iris and Percy have another long heart-to-heart talk. Hope and Alden have another talk. And the big point of angst there is Hope keeps seeing the picture of Alden's mom in his notebook. So at some point, we know that she's got to tell him that, sorry, Corduroy, I shot your mom.
Yeah, Corduroy. That was, I don't know if that was in my actual feedback from last week, because I don't remember it. But, yeah,
I think it was.
They actually got to say Corduroy last week. Called him Corduroy by name.
So the uncle and Felix have a long talk, and it turns out that Uncle and Percy have been stealing CRM gas for their truck. And so they're like, oh yeah, we're near a fuel depot. We know their schedule. We can go in, grab some gas. Everything's groovy. Until they figure it out.
Which you know they will.
And one other thing is Huck has been notably absent this episode.
Yep.
Because she is, air quotes, out scouting ahead.
Yep.
So at the very end, we get our little CRM snippet. Meanwhile, back at the lab, our female doctor is leafing through Hope and Iris's dad's notebook and finds a lovely hand-drawn picture and card from the girls, and she gets a phone call. Of course, she gets a phone call about Dr. Bennett and his security detail. And it kind of led me to believe that CRM knows that the girls are on the road trying to find Dad. That was kind of the intimation that I got.
Yeah.
Because they kept saying, what about Dr. Bennett's security detail? And the doctor was like, oh, well, that's being handled. They're going to take care of that.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's the suspicion now that Huck is a plant.
Hmm. Yep. That's what the only thing that I said in my notes, Huck must be a rat.
So that's Huck the informant? Is she spying on our intrepid group of heroes as they trek across the wilderness?
Do we care?
Maybe.
Well,
I mean, that's where I come in, and I have to say, you know, yet again, this show is just not doing it for me. It is 44 minutes of just boredom. And although I would say that it wasn't as bad this week, and it's not, you know, it's not terrible. Like it's, but there were, I did have a couple of like, oh, come on, things this particular week, but on the whole, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't horrible, but I just hate the fact that I'm getting these like snippets of CRM, so few and far between. This snippet could have been included with the last one. It was basically part two of the same snippet, and it's just not compelling. That this whole thing is just not a compelling story, and if we weren't podcasting about it, I wouldn't be watching it anymore.
I
will say this: if I couldn't fall asleep, I might watch it
to nod you off.
Yes. Well, because it's happened to me twice now. When I've actually watched it, I've fallen asleep. So that tells me that it's good. It's a good episode or good TV show to fall asleep to, because it there's nothing there to keep you interested. But you know, it's like I said, you put this in 2012, make it a teenage version of The Walking Dead to help, you know, to graduate people into The Walking Dead proper, you know, put it on Nickelodeon or something like that, you know, fine. You know, it'll make it a little less scary. That's fine.
Put it in at Nick and Night.
Yeah. Or what's it called now? Freeform.
Yeah.
Then you know, put it on, you know, young adult kind of TV. But on AMC at 10 p.m. by the way, 10 p.m. not like 8 p.m. but 10 p.m. it just doesn't work. I seriously think that the show was going to be longer, and they just took a look at this first season. They said, no, we're cutting it at two. Yeah. You know?
Well, my thing is, like you said, it's not super compelling. It's not bad. It's not like unwatchably bad. It's just grab you and make you just really, really, really want to watch it.
Yeah, that's the problem, is it's not super compelling, and it's got to be super compelling to make me want to watch it. I have trouble keeping up with TV shows in general. In order for me to keep up with something, it's got to be pretty much appointment TV. If something isn't appointment TV, then it gets put off. And like some shows that I love sometimes get put off and I don't get to watch them. The Expanse, that's a good example. I love that show. I love that show, but then I've complained about this before. Stupid, anything that NBC Universal does, or did anyway, they would only have 5 episodes available for streaming at a time. If you got more than 5 episodes behind, you could never catch up without buying the episodes. And that happened with me with The Expanse, and I never got caught up, and I'm still not caught up, even though now they're on Amazon and I could potentially catch up, but I just haven't. So that's probably one that I should have caught up on during the COVID stuff. Yeah, but
that's one of the things I did with it. I just sat down one weekend and just busted it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, just so the listeners know, I had not seen all of Fear and finally sat down and binged it out to where I caught up to where I started watching once I started giving feedback to the podcast. The thing that I'm just annoyed about with World Beyond is they're so naive and they're so inexperienced.
Yeah.
That I keep going, how are they going to survive that long?
Yeah.
And even Felix, who's supposed to be the most knowledgeable and the most worldly, then he ran off and did something derpy.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things when I'm sitting here going, don't leave him alone. Don't do this. They're going to steal your stuff. Oh, they stole their stuff.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it now, I'm kind of to the point where I'm being morbidly curious. I'm going, well, how are they going to get out of this one? And I keep thinking, are all the young cast members going to survive? Do they have plot armor? I keep thinking Felix is going to bite it because when they had all the intros, I never saw him. I saw Huck, but when they did the little, preseason interview, the actors, I saw everybody but him.
I mean, I saw him a lot on Talking Dead, and he seems to be Mr. Talking Dead, so, that's the one thing I would say about him. I don't know. I tend to think that Huck's going to be the one that shucks herself off the show.
Well,
ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. But
anyway,
like I said, my last gripe is sort of akin to your AMC app is I really don't like the fact they're putting Talking Dead on Plus.
Yeah.
I want my Hardwick. I like the Talking Dead.
I agree.
And it's just patently unfair that they're, oh God, here I almost did the disco why I'm pissed off about CBS All Access speech. It's not fair that they're putting a show I want to watch behind a paywall.
Well, but in this case, this is a completely different thing from CBS All Access and Star Trek. We have 3 years of Discovery now being behind a paywall. Them putting Talking Dead behind a paywall
is ridiculous.
That is a completely different thing.
Agreed.
That, that's a show that has been on since 2011 and has no business being on exclusively on their app, especially when you cannot get that. Like, not everyone can get it, right?
Right.
Now, mind you, they have made it easier to get AMC Plus because you can get it now on, in addition to Sling and Dish and Xfinity, you can also get it on through Amazon through their video channels, and you can get it on Apple TV, whatever it's called.
You can get it through Amazon?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll have to. And just for anybody who's never heard me on the Discovery podcast, I've got CBS All Access. I've had All Access since before the series premiered. I was just using that as an example.
Kids. Well, because we still have to feel people complaining about it from time to time. And, it's just a thing. It's like, I get it, but look at the quality of show that you're getting in return. You know,
Right. Exactly. That's kind of the point.
Yeah. The difference with this is that they took something that we've had all this time and then said, oh, now you have to do
for this those thing. For those of you that I know there's a lot of you that don't watch Discovery, don't watch Picard, don't watch Lower Decks, whatever, don't have CBS All Access. That's fine. I'll just say this. There's a reason why Star Trek Discovery is my favorite TV program out there today by far. And that is, it has Game of Thrones like production quality to it. Like, it, you can see every penny that is in that show. Like, it's just, it's there for the for viewing. It's so beautiful, so well made, and it's also, you know, well written, well directed, well acted. It's solid all the way around. I don't have the same kind of problems with those shows that I do with these shows. You know, we don't have translucent deers in Discovery. We have problems with the Klingons, but that's besides the point. We have, so they made some mistakes in season one, but we, anyway, point being, there is something worth a paywall, but the problem is when they take a show that is, you know, out there on a basic cable channel and you take it behind the paywall and people are still expecting to have it, that's bull. Now, I have Premiere, and I have Premiere so that I can, you know, watch stuff commercial free because I podcast about it. But otherwise, I probably wouldn't have it. And, you know, up until Glynis mentioned it last week, I didn't even know that they did this. So I wouldn't even look for it. But anyway. That's the double rant on AMC this week.
Oh, all right. Well, you digress then. I mean, I can't. Like, basically, like, I. Hello, everyone. I was still here. Although I did.
Sorry,
I did. No, I muted it. Literally.
You said you had nothing to say.
No, totally true. I had nothing to say. Like, I paused it. I went and, like, did my dishes. I think I mowed the lawn. I, like, you know, like, made, like, a half of sandwich, came back, and I'm like, oh, they're still talking about it. That's great. No, I did not watch this. What's so funny is the fact that it's like before the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to cover the show. I'm like, I'm going to have like a whole, like, I will totally take care of that way. Everything else is taken care of, like, whatever.
Yep.
And now here we are on this weird, like, flip side. And I'm like, I have no time for the show. Like, I'm trying to do, like, yeah, everything got pushed around and like, we're dealing with multiple shows all at the same time, this and that.
Well, that's part of it, but still, the problem is it's just not compelling. You know, that
well,
and,
no,
and Fear has been compelling. That's the thing. It's been good, and World Beyond hasn't been good. And, you know, even podcasts that said that they were going to cover World Beyond instead of Fear are now covering Fear and not so much on World Beyond. So.
Well, no, but I mean, but originally we would have been doing World Beyond and then Fear would have came on. And
right.
So it's like, we could have gotten past this being like, oh yeah, this is all the problems, blah, 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 to being like, oh, now we're only focused on this. And I think that to me, I'm like, that's what I think is like funny is the fact that it's like,
we could have gone through and say, well, it's only four more weeks until Fear starts.
Right. Exactly.
And, but there is, you know, one good thing about this, and of course that is that we have LT covering it with us.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't have had LT if it had aired when it was supposed to. So,
yeah, sure.
And like I said, I'm still glad that I got called up to the bigs.
So yes, you did.
And he does the best Sherry.
Rookie of the year so far.
I need to get that. I should have, but I don't have that already on my soundboard. So,
oh, his O'Sherry.
Yes, his O'Sherry is the best.
I was going to say, you already played the regular O'Sherry. Oh, by the way, you know what? On YouTube, we got a copyright infringement on playing that.
Oh, no, really? Way.
We did.
On LT's version?
No. On playing Steve Perry's version.
I was going to say, we finally hit the big time. We got a copyright strike on YouTube. Woo-hoo!
It just means that we can't monetize it, which we weren't going to anyway. Yeah. So, but
all right.
It was funny.
All right. So let's go into our listeners' World Beyond feedback. And the first one comes from Renee from Atlanta. She says, World Beyond feedback for this week and or from last week and this week is like someone is feeling a little jelly. crying face. Or happy rolling on the floor, crying face. Awesome sauce. Nothing about either episode was awesome except how the girls got more gorgeous each week. Silas is about to lose his boo. Crying face. What? That's building boats now? Seriously, they know how to rebuild a siren and build a boat. For them to be adopted, they seem to have inherited his intellect. Definitely suspension of belief. Kyle, you said falling is a trope on The Walking Dead shows, and I agree wholeheartedly, because Elton, I know you're not that much of a klutz. Iris and Percy, teenager love is so cute. Feedback, I'm feeling a little antsy about Huck. I think she's a spy for CRM. Felix is not as astute as he should be. I would have thought because he worked for the CRM, he would have smelled a rat. He's definitely not a sleuth. The World Beyond is definitely pandering to the younger generation because I believe it's about to pick up pace. Percy and his uncle, Dale 2.0, is going to be a great addition because their motto seems to be the first law of nature, self-preservation, and they know what it's going to take to survive in the new world, whereas Felix and the kids are completely lost, and they need help really bad because they were sheltered for so long, they do not realize it's survival of the fittest.
And I can't argue a bit. Clint from Indianapolis says, totally gave up on the series a few weeks back and completely dependent on this podcast to keep me up to date with anything relevant that may affect the Walking Dead universe. And thank you, Clint. That's what we're here for. We suffer, so you don't have to.
Yes, we suffer a lot. All right, well, that was the end of our World Beyond feedback, so let's get into news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Okay, so this week was a mixed bag in terms of ratings. Fear the Walking Dead was up in the coveted 18 to 49 demographic with 0.35 in the 18 to 49 with 1.244 million viewers. That is up from 0.31 in the 18 to 49, but it is down from 1.276 million viewers last week. World Beyond continued its spectacular decline. Sorry, but it's not doing too well. It got a 0.21 in the 18 to 49 with 726,000 viewers. That now represents an all-time low in total viewers. By the way, as does the total number of viewers for this episode for Fear. So they both hit their all-time lows. But for World Beyond, that was an all-time viewer low. Last week, it got a 0.18. So it did better in the 18 to 49, but it got 742,000 viewers. So both episodes were the first two that ever got under a million for either show, any of the three shows. In the 18 to 34 for both shows, World Beyond got a 0.08, whereas Fear got a 0.14. So, and yes, there was a Talking Dead this week, but you need AMC Premiere, which we weren't sure of last week, because I know in my notes I said, well, how come I can't get this if I have AMC Premiere? Well, it turns out I can get it with AMC Premiere. So you need AMC Premiere or AMC Plus to get it. So the last two episodes they've had it. As far as who was on, Talking Dead had Christine Evangelista on there, Aaliyah Royale, and since I mentioned him as being like the go-to guy for Talking Dead, Nico Torotella, and also Maggie Grace were on there. So those four were on there, but you need AMC Plus or Premiere, and I think it's going to be on like Saturday night at like 12 something, where it'll finally be available to watch, for those of you that don't have it. Yeah, it'll be on at 12:20 a.m. Eastern time, Saturday, November 14th. So if our episode gets out before that, you can make a note of it. As far as the Parrot Analytics, obviously Fear and World Beyond didn't make it. I don't know where they are in the whole standings, but The Walking Dead maintained being in the top 10, but it did go down three notches to number 10 in total average demand expressions, with 49.4 times the average television show. So not bad for a show that's not on right now, but yeah, so that's what it did. As far as news, I don't have any. You guys didn't see any news pop up this week?
No, other than, yeah, no, just still stuff is in the works about the movie, and like nothing's concrete. I think the whole pandemic has basically put everything on hold.
Yep.
All I've seen are a lot of people having theories about the movies.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of speculation, and, you know, I've seen other people have videos saying similar kind of things about World Beyond and how it sucks. You know, so now the other thing I'll mention, of course, the other Parrot Analytics thing is Discovery is still doing well in its showing in the Parrots. It got in the digital originals, it went up a notch to number 5 this week with 34.3 times the average. So right now, on both the overall and the digital originals, The Mandalorian is first with 96.7 times the average TV show. So I don't know what the average TV show is, but
it's
yeah.
It beats SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, which is not, barely with number 2. Right. Yeah.
It is the way.
It's just like, where is this coming from? Because SpongeBob is pretty much everyone's favorite.
Yeah. And SNL is number 3, which you could totally understand with it being an election. So,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah. All right. So that's it for me for news.
To interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead TTM. Also on Instagram under the same handle. To submit theories or feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. Email us at WalkingDead@talkthroughmedia.com, and also our feedback form, which you can find at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. We love getting voicemail, so if you want to leave one of those, you can call us at 216-232-6146. All of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media, and remember to subscribe and click the bell to get the notifications from when we have new videos, because the way our process works, once I'm rendering out the podcast audio, it sends it to YouTube first, so that is absolutely where it first arrives, because usually it takes me a little bit to get the podcast and blog done. So if you want to hear it as soon as I basically finish it, that's the best place you can do it. All right, LT, take us away.
And we always appreciate your support. Like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way that you can support us is through our Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/WalkingDeadTalkThrough. We'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum and Lawrence Todd.
Yay!
You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. You can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is still the best way to get us new listeners. And remember, if you want to share the network post, you can share it through the Talk Through Media group on Facebook. You can share it there. Share us on Twitter. Share us on social media.
You can also listen to Brian and I covering Star Trek Lower Decks. But also, Brian has been covering Star Trek Discovery, and he's been covering that with Ruthie. And you can find that over StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and Facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. They also have a Patreon for those podcasts. You can find that at Patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And yeah, just head on over there. They're doing a great job. Next time, we'll be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 6, called Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg, written by Alex Delisle. Might have gotten that wrong, but directed by, actually, we don't know. The description is: a deadly explosion in the oil field sends June on a mission to save as many lives as possible. An investigation by Virginia threatens to undermine June's work. We'll also be covering a little bit The Walking Dead World Beyond, which is Season 1, Episode 7, Truth or Dare. I did not find out who it was written by or directed by at this time, but the description is: while the group searches for something to advance their quest, one of them recalls their struggles in the early days of the apocalypse. A game of Truth or Dare brings emotions to the surface. Oh, LT, does that excite you at all?
I'm so excited.
Just can't hide it. All right, well, guys, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.